9:19 here on the ticket. We're on Radio Row. The Musers, another morning in Las Vegas, Super Bowl 58. We have a lot of ticket teammates with us, Corby Davidson, Donovan Lewis, David Moore, and it's time for Gordo's Corner. By the way, Emmett Smith coming up in 15 minutes here on Radio Row.
Exactly.
Gordo's Corner brought to us by Tylock George Laser Eye Care and A1 Locksmith Security and Safes.
Will you just play Emmett's way for him the whole song? Don't say a word, just play the whole thing and just let him listen.
Did we ever play it for him? It seemed like we did once.
I think we
did play it for him once.
Did, yeah. And I don't think he liked it.
He didn't like it. No. It didn't go as bad as your novel.
No way. He didn't like that.
Surprising. Yeah, we played Heenit's way for him. He didn't like it. Joining us here for the Friday edition of The Corner, Corby Davidson, David Moore, and Donovan Lewis.
Yeah, I think that was already established.
Yes, as I just said.
But also, in addition, David Moore. Mm-hmm. Corby from the afternoon show, mm-hmm. and Donovan Lewis joining us on a Friday edition of Gordo's Corner. Now, we usually do Fantastic Friday fan feedback, and of course it's going to have a Super Bowl theme from the P1s if they want to join us at 888-787-1310. One thing that I didn't get to do while I was in Vegas this week, so I'll have to return to do this, and maybe I'll tag along with one of Donovan's 50 Vegas trips he takes a year. Is I didn't take the Elvis Trail of Tears. Like, I would like to see that theater that he performed in at the International Hotel that he performed 638 shows in.
Does that exist?
It still exists,
what?
Yeah. Yeah, now the International became the Las Vegas Hilton, and then it became, I think it's Westgate.
Okay.
Resort.
Yeah.
Now or
we stayed there with when we came down for the draft in Vegas. That's where we stayed.
Stayed in Elvis's hotel.
Westgate, yeah.
Is the theater still like it was back then?
I think it. I don't. I'm having a hard time tracking down that answer. I've been trying to look it up and find out how much renovation has gone on. But I know that those convention rooms where he rehearsed, there's famous rehearsal footage of him and his band practicing for the gig in their convention hall, it's still there. And then the theater is still there. I just don't know how much they've redesigned it yet. Because I think Barry Manilow took over after he left playing there. But Elvis did so many shows there. I think he started in 1969 up until his death.
Would you, to be a companion piece for Lee Harvey Oswald's bathtub, would you buy the toilet that Elvis strained over for 12 years in Las Vegas?
So not the death toilet.
No. Just one that...
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's...
No one would want that.
Don't,
that's
don't
absurd.
Don't even insult just, me right. Yeah. by talking like
just
that.
The one that got the greatest usage.
Yeah. Or the attempted usage, because he was backed up because
was,
of the pills.
Was he a chronic constipator?
The pills...
You haven't heard this, Donnie?
No.
Ooh, this is...
So, Elvis had a problem with his colon. Like a genetic problem as well as the opiates. And he had what is known as a megacolon. And like those pictures that you see of Elvis when he looks heavy
bloated.
And all that.
Is that all poop?
Yeah, it's because he's so constipated.
Just touch it and it's just hard like he's pregnant.
Yeah,
he's
when they filleted him open after he died.
That's his, probably not the term. But,
whatever the medical term is. But his colon was, I think it was over four times the size of a normal human being's.
God.
And at one point it was 10 inches wide. And they found stool inside his colon that was over 4 months old.
Well, how do they know? Did it have a date on it when you...
No,
do you have a
like
date? Yeah, a QR
a tree.
Code?
They also found a license
rains.
Plate from
has
Louisiana.
Has rains around it.
Yeah.
Is Saturn poop?
No, what happened was he had had like a medical procedure where you swallow the, you know, the barium.
Condom.
Yeah, the condom.
Got it.
You swallow that stuff where they can look inside you. It reacts to anything. Anyway, he'd done that 4 months before, and that stuff was still in
his
colon.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
How long does it normally stick around, like a normal human being?
24 hours, 48 hours, somewhere like that.
Dang.
And it was 4 months old.
Yeah. Got that.
But it was like... It was like double the length and quadruple the width.
Just kind of circling around.
Of a normal human. It was like a mastodon colon.
And to numb the pain, it's just pill after pill after pill.
Yeah, which makes him even
more constipated. Mm-hmm. Like that guy, how old was he? 42.
And he looked 42. 62 those last couple of years.
Yeah, last two or three years.
Anyway, in celebration of what I'm trying to do here. Yeah, he performed at the International two shows a night, 7 days a week.
Wow.
Two shows, jeez, 7 days a week when he would do his engagement, which would be several months long each year.
What kind of money was he making? I mean, I saw that movie, but I don't remember the details.
You know, I don't know how much money he was making. I know that Liberace in the 70s and 80s when he was doing his residency there, he was making $200,000 a week.
Which was unheard of.
Which is an incredible amount of money back then. But the Elvis tickets were $15. You could go see Elvis perform. And he lived on the 30th floor of that hotel that you stayed in, Donnie. He had the penthouse suite at the time.
I didn't have that.
It was 5,000 square feet. That's where the beloved toilet that David Moore is so interested in was housed. That Elvis strained over.
They still have to rent that suite out, though, right? It's not
they
preserve it?
See, this is, I think this was a missed opportunity. They redesigned all that and busted it up into other rooms, and then, they...
You know how many people will buy that Elvis suite for no matter how much money it is?
I know.
Like you?
Or at least run tours on it. You know, have tours.
Right. So I always associate Elvis as being a guy that white people like. Like, I don't know how popular Elvis is in the community. Did you know... Growing up, did you have were any of your uncles and stuff like that Elvis fans?
No one talked about it, but we knew of him. It's not like, you know, but I think he was probably known more around for kind of taking our music and trying to make his own and cashing in on it because I saw a masterclass. I don't know if I was talking to you about this, but it's about Little Richard. And how they showed that Pat Boone and Elvis Presley just kind of took the music that he started. You know, you'd hear him braggadociously say, I'm the king of rock and roll. I started rock and roll. And that masterclass kind of showed that he did.
Mm-hmm.
And then Pat Boone and Elvis profited way more than he did. It was really interesting.
But at that time, I mean, it was time for white people to get theirs at that moment.
Yeah. Oh, shut up. And Pat Boone
then waited long enough.
You have to put it in the proper
historical context.
Pat Boone was cocky.
Oh, my God. He was like, you know, I didn't take from Little Richard. I just exposed it to a new audience, and Pat Boone sold 1.5 million copies. And I had to pause my TV.
Because you were mad at Pat Boone.
And then I pressed play again.
Pat, of course, the uncle of noted, sweet, wonderful P1 Grant Boone.
And he's great. I like Grant Boone.
Right.
But we need to talk to your great-grandpa, homeboy. I'd like to meet him in the alley.
He's like 100.
Oh, that's okay.
I'd
whoop his ass.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think Elvis was in a weird spot, though, because I don't know the question of intentionality. I don't even know if it enters into it. Because that is, people, musicologists have even gone back through, and they trace Elvis did take so much from black artists at the time. But he's also like this huge fan, and that's what made them discover Elvis, was because he sounded like he did. And could he have done more for black artists at the time? Because as far as I know, the only black artist that he really supported and gave jobs to was the Sweet Inspirations, who were some of his backup singers. Have you seen the hair on the Sweet Inspirations?
I have, yeah.
Oh, my God. This one girl has a fro that is, like, out to here.
So awesome.
How do those stand up? How can that stand up when it gets that
probably
big?
Probably had a lot of spray in it, a lot of product.
So you're saying don't have an open flame around her?
No.
That's back when everyone was smoking, too. How did more heads of hair not go up in flames?
So... Didn't it bother you? I know it did. I've talked to you about this. That, like, when we got older and, you know, Elvis was before our time, but when we started learning about him, the fact that he never wrote any song. Nothing.
No.
It made me insane.
Yeah. And, you know, the Colonel tried that manipulation there of any song that, if you were a songwriter and you wrote a song and Elvis liked it and he wanted to record it, Colonel Tom Parker would insist that Elvis got half writing credit. And a lot of people fell for that, and then Elvis gets royalties on that.
Yeah.
Jerry Reed was a famous example that said, I'd love for you to record my stuff, but I'm not you weren't there when I wrote this, so I'm not giving you writing credit for
it. So did he end up recording some of the songs?
He did. Jerry Reed is the artist that Elvis recorded the most. He had four hits that Jerry Reed wrote of all the songs that he did. But, yeah, Elvis, and Donnie's right. I mean, part of Elvis's appeal was that he brought that rhythm and blues spirit and a lot of blues stuff that he grew up in, because Elvis did grow up very, very poor in Mississippi.
Yeah.
I mean, they were very poor white people who lived in an area of town that was mixed, and Elvis would go over, and he loved black gospel. That was like Elvis's. As a matter of fact, when he would finish those shows, his Vegas shows, his favorite thing was to go back and play piano and just sing gospel music all the time. And he had the Sweet Inspirations and the, what's the name of the men group that sang with
the
J.D. Sumner and the Stamps and all those guys.
Boys to Men.
Boys to Men. And he wanted to just sing How Great Thou Art and, you know, Old Rugged Cross and gospel songs and that. It's still standing. Now, several places related to Elvis are not standing. Like the original Aladdin where he and Priscilla got married. That's no longer there.
They got married here?
They got married here.
Wow, I didn't know that.
How old was she when they got married? I know they started dating when she was in eighth grade.
She had just gotten out of elementary school when he married her.
That was Jerry Lee.
He waited.
She was 14, right, when they met, or 15?
Yeah, 14.
But she was like 19 when they got married.
Oh, yeah, so it's all good.
Yeah, so.
No big deal.
Yeah, and he convinced her. I haven't watched the Sofia Coppola Priscilla movie.
Haven't
yet,
either.
Have you?
No.
Sally Stern was talking to me about it. She watched it and was talking about how Elvis had convinced Priscilla's parents to let her move into his house, I think when she was like 15 or something like that.
I know. I don't understand how all of society was just like, it's just old Elvis.
Yeah.
We're fine with it.
Get away with it then. So no Elvis Trail of Tears. We missed a happy birthday, by the way, before we get to Emmett. Who Emmett is going to do our fantastic Friday fan feedback today.
Oh, dear.
That's going to go
well.
But turning 18 yesterday was Dade the Influencer, our cocky young kid that started calling into our show, promoting himself as an influencer. He's now 18. So now, Corb, you can rag on him all you want to now that he's not a kid. Or you can move him into your house now that he's 18.
Dade the Influencer.
Dade the Influencer. Yeah. He's a good
happy birthday, Dade. Mm-hmm. Okay, Gordo, thank you. That is the corner. Thank you, guys.